We are going to switch gears now. We have been covering the issue with Jimmy MacArthur, A.F. James MacArthur, who was a local blogger, as many of you know, who was arrested at his home for violating probation. SWAT team came and picked him up. He's been held for the last 3 weeks in the Baltimore City Detention Center. There's a rally for him on Thursday, and we are joined here to talk about in studio here to talk about that because I think that it needs the light of day. Alan Foreman is managing editor of the Voice of Baltimore.org. Jimmy MacArthur wrote for them, and Jean Arthur is with us. She is a sister of Frank James MacArthur, and we're getting her on the phone right now to join us here on the air. And Alan, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Nice to be here, Bob.
Thank you. Let me get your microphone up there. All right. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
So I don't think his microphone's up or working. Maybe I'll switch seats. Try that again.
It's not working. Is it working now? Good.
There you are.
It's nice to be here. I'll say it
again. Good to have you here.
And nice to meet you.
So this is the case. I'm going to kind of look at what was sent to us by the DOC when we've been talking to them today about this case. I mean, why people can't see him, but your sense of what happened. I mean, we saw the scene where Jimmy was writing these blogs. Some people thought the blogs were threatening. Some people didn't, whatever. We read them on the air. But what's happening? Here we have a guy who's been accused of violating probation because he didn't give his street address and the SWAT team comes to pick him up and take him to jail.
Well, I think that's not exactly why they were there.
Do you think they were there then?
Well, they came to serve a warrant that they may or may not have bothered with had he not gone online and on his blog and on his streaming audio with the allegedly threatening messages. I believe he was legitimately frightened that something bad would happen and that at some point they would act on that warrant. So he was not, not imagining things there. But whether they would have served that warrant, I guess, is another question. It apparently dates back to June and they had not served it in that period of time.
So you have not seen Jimmy, right?
I have not seen him. I made two attempts this weekend. I was told that he was in city jail, and I waited in line for about an hour, standing outside like everybody has to do when they go to visit someone at city jail. And when I got to the front of the line, they took about 5 minutes or so to figure out that he wasn't in city jail after all, that he was still in central booking. So they sent me next door to see him in central booking, where I was told that visiting hours are Sundays only between 9 and 4 p.m. I went back on Sunday afternoon, and at 1:30, the watch captain arbitrarily decided to end visiting hours, and no one else was allowed, and they locked the doors. I don't think that was a conspiracy or anything to keep people from seeing him. There were plenty of other people there that were being visited as well.
This is what we got from the state, from the communications department, and the Department of Corrections, Public Safety, and Correctional Services. They wrote in today saying, following up, MacArthur was violated for failing to meet conditions of his supervision, specifically conditions to report to supervision and approve address changes with his agent. When he was also awaiting the violation hearing, he is currently being held on bail status at the Baltimore City Central Booking and Intake Center for new criminal charges of illegal firearm possession and a registered rifle or shotgun. Detainees are unable to have visitors for the first 60 days. Rick Benetti then also wrote in, who's the head of communications at the Department of Corrections. I will add, detainees are allowed to make daily phone calls, so you can write to him and ask him to put you on his cell list and call you. Hope all this helps.
Well, that's different from what I had been told. I was not told that he wasn't allowed visitors. I was told that I could see him that if I went there. And that's what I did. But the reason I didn't get in wasn't because they were restricting him from visitors, but because they cut off the visiting hours early. And I got there at 1:30. Visiting hours were supposed to continue till 4 p.m. There were lots of people inside in a waiting area that I could see through the window that are apparently waiting to visit people in central booking. I'm guessing that's what they were doing there. And there were people coming out as well that had seen visitors.
Folks, you can join us here at 410-319-8888. We want to hear your thoughts. A.F. James MacArthur, Jim MacArthur, has been a guest in the show numerous times as a journalist, commenting on issues that he's been covering. He has been in jail now for 3 weeks. A lot of folks think this is overkill, that he's not a danger to society, and questions about why he was charged the way he was charged. And there are questions about the gun that he had in his house, whether it was his or not. Who knows what those answers are?
Well, he says that that gun was planted. He said it looked very much like a rifle that, or I believe a sawed-off shotgun that had been confiscated by the police several years before on one of these the earlier gun charges that he had. And you are correct. He's had a number of gun charges. He allegedly has this criminal record, all based on gun charges. Nothing violent, to my knowledge. He's never been charged with a violent crime, and so the allegedly threatening tweets and Facebook messages seem a little bit out of character to me. I've never known him to be violent, and I don't know why he would make violent threats. However, I have been told that he did threaten a public city official at one point several years ago, and as a result of that, he was committed for a psychiatric evaluation. I don't know, believe the result of that. He was not incarcerated at that time.
Jean Arthur is with us. She's a sister of Frank James MacArthur. Joins us by phone. Jean, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. What is the status of your brother? Have you seen him? Have you talked to his attorneys? What is the status at the moment?
I personally have not seen him. I'm in communication with his attorney. We either text or talk. But most recently, she's spoken with my mom, which was yesterday. She spoke with my mother. And that's our most recent contact.
And what can you tell us? Anything?
Well, Ms. Carter, who is the attorney, she said he's in good spirits, he's doing okay, and just general things like that. They're hoping for a hearing this week, but she wasn't necessarily 100% optimistic that that would actually happen.
One of the things I'm curious about, I mean, is both your kind of senses of both Jimmy and this case, and why either one of you think this is taking on the kind of it's larger than it seems than it has to be. The case seems to be kind of is out of proportion. Most people would argue.
I agree with that.
Go ahead, Jean. Go ahead.
No, I said I have to agree with you that, in my opinion, from my viewpoint, it does seem tremendously out of proportion.
I mean, you've worked with him a lot.
Yes, the question is, I guess, is that he shows up at crime scenes, and the police don't like to be watched for, and sometimes for good reason. I mean, people do disrupt the crime scenes. It's not legal to interfere with a crime scene, but he's never done that. He's just there, and he asks questions. And they tell him to move and get out of the way and so forth, and he's cooperative as far as I know, but they don't like to be watched, and of course not all cops are good cops. They're for the most part they're not doing anything they shouldn't be doing, but there are rogue cops. We know from experience that those kind of things do happen. So he's not this is not unusual that he would be concerned about his situation.
Go ahead, Jean.
I have to agree with you in that, you know, cops don't like to be watched. You've heard so many stories, especially there was one not too long ago, maybe in a couple of years ago in Washington, where a woman was taking photographs. Somebody was taking photographs of a crime, you know, the police arresting somebody, just a person, just an ordinary citizen walking by, and the police actually went after the person, took the camera away, and tried to destroy the photographs. This case actually went to court. And to, police officers generally don't like to be watched. And when you have somebody who's constantly watching them, you know, is always there and writing about, essentially reporting what took place, what happened. Police officers don't like that. My other part of my opinion on this subject is that, like you said earlier, there are a lot of rogue cops. There are also, in my opinion, a lot of cops who view their badge as a right to be a bully or a right to have people, I don't know, for want of a better word, worship them. They don't like people standing up to them. It's like, I'm the law. You cannot stand up to me. You cannot talk back to me. You have to do what I say, as I said. And whenever you have people who don't do that, they feel incredibly threatened. I actually had a cop say this to me, and it was just a personal conversation. And he said that to me. He said, whenever he stops somebody, if the person is not totally compliant, totally submissive, he starts feeling threatened. How he reacts when he feels threatened, who knows? He said that. He said, I don't know how I'm going to react when I feel threatened. When you have somebody like Frank, I call him Frank because that's the name, you know, we've always called him. That's his legal first name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know you guys call him Jimmy.
When I call him James.
James, right. Who's always in their face. They don't like that. So, I mean, and I can see how there would be an element of police officers who would want that person out of the way, who doesn't want that person around, always in their face.
Well, the law says that as long as they are not disrupting anything, it's perfectly legal for people to observe a crime scene and to take photographs, I believe.
Yes, I know that, but a lot of officers do not like that.
Oh, right, of course.
I mean, is there any reason to believe that part of the reason why Jimmy's being incarcerated, held no bail, is because of the angst or anger of some people in the police department over his activities? I mean, that's the accusation made by some people who are holding this rally on Thursday to support him and to have him released.
Do you want to? I'll answer that. I'm told by people in the prosecutor's office that the police are not disturbed by people being at crime scenes and that they're not intimidated by James or anyone else. That's what they tell me. Whether that's the full picture or not is another issue, I suppose, and there's differing opinions on both sides of that. However, if that were true and that they're not disturbed by it, then there wouldn't be any reason for there to be any vendetta here or to be any reason to want to silence him. However, if it really is disturbing and there are lots of cops that don't want James coming around to the crime scenes, then it's conceivable, I suppose, that that there could be some sort of a fix, whatever you want to call it, to keep him off the street.
Let's go to the phone system.
And I'm not saying that from any right. personal knowledge. I just say it as a possibility. I can't say that it's not true.
So let me go to the phones here. People are calling in and get their thoughts on this. And I think that there is a question. People are questioning whether this is kind of overkill in some ways that's happening to James MacArthur. On the other hand, it's also emblematic of the hundreds and thousands of people who are in jail, waiting trial, can't get out, who shouldn't be in jail waiting for trial. The kind of way we incarcerate people, he's like become in some ways, for me, emblematic of all of that. I mean, this policy they have, which is completely arbitrary, by the way. I've checked other prison systems around the country in detention centers that do not do it, which is the policy of not allowing people to see visitors for 60 days. I mean, that is like almost torture for somebody being put in prison. I mean, mental torture, I should say. Not being able to get in touch with family and loved ones. So let me go to the phone and see what folks are thinking. 410-319-8888. Tom, you're on the air.
Mark, thanks for putting me on.
Hey, Tom Kiefer, how are you?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Very well. Welcome.
Yes, our mutual friend has been locked up for reasons that are way, you know, what they've used against him is far an overreaction to what he represented, but maybe not so, because he's a threat. He's a threat to the status quo. I think there probably be some more effort or some more explanation of what he was up to with regards to the Baltimore Spectator. Baltimore Spectator was a live feed mobile where he was in real time reporting what was happening on the street.
Right.
And the young woman that called earlier and eloquently expressed, you know, a very, very important point. And that is when our police are watched, and I know them from both sides. I know them from employing them as you know, off-duty for years, and I thought they were just wonderful, and I know them from having the cuffs put on me when there was no reason to do so, and people that were observing it were threatened. So I think it's interesting, or it's somewhat helpful, that the gentleman who spoke afterwards pointed out where there's two sides to this issue. And the reason I focus on that is because there's not two sides to the issue. The police are extremely threatened if you begin to question their authority in any way.
Absolutely.
And that goes all the way up through Baltimore City government and all the way up to the top. And Jimmy threatens all that. We need to get him out of jail, back online, up with Shorty. I'd like to hang out with them. So would you and other people, because they're innovating a new media approach, which is essentially like the People's Channel. And that threatens the hell out of one of the most corrupt cities in America.
So tell me, about what's the rally on Thursday, and where is it?
It's not my, well, I'm one of the sponsors of it, but it's, let someone else speak to that, because they can give you the accurate information. I believe it's outside of, you're going to be with us, by the way, it's outside of Central Booking. I know that. I know it's on Thursday. I believe it starts at 4, because
okay.
there's a rush hour to be considered. I've been earlier, there was some information about 6 to 8. But then it's also mentioned to be a vigil. Excuse me, and which, of course, could go on. And I encourage everyone who's concerned in this city that we have a repressive police department and essentially a notoriously corrupt city hall. And this gentleman could have been down in the islands where his relatives are. And if you look on his Facebook page, you could see he had every option in the world, but he stayed here and he stepped up. He's got brass balls, as far as I'm concerned, and we need to get behind him, because the city needs to turn around in terms of having the citizens actually stop this apathy and realize that if we get together and this kind of People's Channel thing, and what you do, Mark, and the rest of the people that are not mainstream, is extremely important for us to communicate laterally with each other, because our local media is not telling us what's going on.
Yeah, Tom, I'd like to ask. Can
go
I?
Go ahead.
Ask you,
I don't want to get another call on here.
Tom, Al Foreman, I'd like to ask you a question. Do you feel that you've been treated similarly by the police and by the authorities?
What do you think?
Well, I'm asking you. Have you been treated
so
unfairly?
It's another level of the same game. It's all about our local media is almost complicit. And, you know, it's almost conspiratorial, but it's tacit. It's not even, it's strange how it happens. And Mark's an antidote to that. And Jimmy is the big time antidote to that. And that's why he's in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, I appreciate you being part of the show. People are writing in here. I want to get some other comments.
I've had my piece, and thank you. I've said my piece, and thank you very much, Mark, I appreciate the opportunity.
Good to have you on, Todd Keith Farber. And good luck. 410-319-8888. Oscar, you're on the air.
Good evening.
Hi, Oscar. Go ahead.
Let me ask you, first of all, once you are arrested by the police, they can't make the court keep you in jail, or they have nothing to do with your bail once you are arrested by them. So clear that up right now. Now, I want to ask either person there who can answer this question. There's a report in the paper that Jimmy was walking down the street and had a weapon, an AK-47, with a bayonet affixed to it. And the policeman said, "Sir, where are you going with that gun?" He said, "Some children just broke into my car, and I'm looking for them."
Well, wait a minute. Oscar, one thing we don't have to do is, there's no proof of that.
I'm asking you. I don't.
So, that's just, that's like, you know, I don't.
It's important what you know about it. Don't, because you on his side. Answer the
I didn't say I was on it. Listen, Oscar, I'm saying that throwing things out there is just like wild speculation. You don't have proof of that. I never heard of that before.
It was in the paper. You want to get the paper and read it?
What?
I say, is it true or not? I didn't say it was true.
Well, if it's
I'm
not,
asking.
If a cop sees a guy walking the street with an AK-47 with a bayonet out and says he's looking for kids, what would a cop do? He'd stop, take the gun away, and arrest him.
That's exactly what happened. That's one of the gun charges, according to the paper. That's what I'm asking.
That's not true.
Okay, Gene, go ahead.
That never happened at all.
Just a second, Oscar. Gene, go ahead.
I would love to know what paper and where that person, the reporter who wrote that, got that information. Because what you're talking about is something that happened in 2009. You simply have to go through the court records to see an AK-47. I mean, seriously.
Well, right.
A bayonet attack? I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, I'm giving,
and you know, and there's something else that you said.
Give the public a break.
There's something else that you said that needs to be, that I need to comment on. You said that the police have nothing to do with the bail. That is true technically. But as the previous caller said, I think his name was Tommy, what you need to recognize, what everybody needs to recognize, is, and I'm a lawyer, and I could tell you this unequivocally, there is a network of people, prosecutors, police officers, judges. And I'm not saying they're corrupt or anything, but there's a network. If the police doesn't want somebody out on bail, they talk to the prosecutor, they talk to the judges. No, the police do not have a direct say in it, but they definitely influence that. And if you don't recognize that, you really need to realize that, because if you're arrested, don't go in thinking that you're going to stand there on your merits and there's no emotion involved on the other side, that everybody, like the police and prosecutors and the judges, are totally impartial.
Well, you need to go to the Justice Department.
We're human. It's not. It doesn't happen.
You need to go to the Justice Department. If that's going on, if you can prove that, I bet you can't prove it.
Well, they probably can't prove it here on the
show. Prove what? I'm sorry.
Wait. Let me just jump in here. I think that I'm not going to go back and forth like that. It doesn't take us anywhere. But I think that the whole question of the bail system is called into question in the city. It's a bail system that is fueled by bail bondsmen, not by justice. Yeah. It's a system that is antiquated. It's a system that keeps most people in jail. Lawyers, people are not allowed lawyers at their bail hearing. Doug Colbert's been on the show many times fighting to get that changed here in Maryland and around the country to allow people who are arrested to have lawyers at the bail hearings, which they do not have. If we had that, fewer people would be languishing in jail waiting for the trial to take place. Most people in the detention center are there for nonviolent crimes and languishing in jail waiting for the trial.
Yeah, while people that are accused of murders seem to get bail and get out on the street the next day.
Absolutely. And domestic violence, same thing.
Yes, domestic violence also. They're out right away, and these people have the violent history, and yet they seem to make bail, whereas people like James, who has no violent history, the authorities may suspect that he might do something violent, but that's based on no evidence, and yet he's locked up.
So we have 2 minutes that we have to go to break and then switch gears here, but let me go to a caller who lost his call. We only have 2 minutes left. Jim, you're on the air. We only have about a minute and a half. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I just want to say that, you know, I agreed with the gentleman that was on earlier. I'm not sure of his name, but what I do want to say is that I know that there is a level of corruption within law enforcement, but in the same vein, these officers risk their life every day just as
correct.
The firemen do.
That's right.
And I don't think that it's right. Baltimore is definitely one of the most corrupt cities in the country, and as far as...
Oh, I disagree.
People keep saying that, but
I disagree.
I don't know what that means.
Violent cities, I'm sorry.
Violent,
maybe, yes.
That's what I meant. But there is a level of corruption in law enforcement, but these guys are like, you know, putting their lives on the line for us every day.
You're correct. We have we are fortunate to have an excellent police department for all its faults. It's like saying that the politicians in the United States are no good, therefore the United States is no good. It doesn't follow. The cops do a damn good job.
So we have to take a break here. I appreciate your call, Jim. I want to thank, first of all, Jean Arthur, sister of Frank James MacArthur, for coming in. Joining us by phone. And we will continue talking to her and following this case. And Al Foreman for coming in, managing editor of thevoiceofbaltimore.org, where James MacArthur wrote his stories and appeared. And we'll continue talking to the DOC and the state's attorney and see what's going on. And as we said, there's a rally tomorrow, we think. We'll check that out and let you know Thursday. We'll let you know when that exact time is for those of you who want to have your voice heard. Thank you all for joining us here today. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you.